And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
That's AI.
Yeah.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Good rhyme. So Bubba's like, every time the podcast starts, it has a completely different, it generates a new intro. We don't know what it's going to be.
So we never know. Sometimes it'll be like.
Sometimes it's opera.
So that's all new.
First time you heard it. Joel and Luke with us for King and Country, doing our podcast with us. Good to see you, boys.
Good to see you guys.
Lovely to be with you.
Y'all still Christians or give it up?
No. Still Christians.
Still, what about you? Yeah, still Jesus follows.
I'm still in. Yeah.
He's still in.
Yeah, so I go to the meetings.
You check the book of life.
Go to the meetings.
We all go to the meetings.
Man, I wish y'all could go. Y'all know you guys are from Australia, and you play like mega, all the things and whatnot. I wish you guys could go back in time and grow up with me in Cookeville, Tennessee, and go to my church. There was always an old lady who would get the spirit, and she would just run up and down the aisles.
Wow.
We had people.
Set flags?
We had banners.
Yeah.
We had banners.
Tambourines?
Tambourines. We had somebody who was a tambourine.
Did they
person.
Have tassels on them, the tambourines?
Like the fabric attached.
Star of David configuration?
No,
or just circular?
No, just circular.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we had an upright piano.
Yeah.
And it was a little out of tune. And we had a guitar player and a bass player.
Also a little out of tune.
Uh-huh. And... Dude, it was
a thing.
Wild work.
Yeah, one of those tube dudes.
Wild work.
You never knew
those tube dudes.
Well, you should have come to us in Australia. We just had a didgeridoo and
solos. They did a lot of solos. Didgeridoo solos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even tell if you're joking. Everything I know about Australia comes from 911 Australia.
which is actually not 911. If you dial 911 Australia, nothing will happen.
But to your point,
it's 000.
Actually, quadruple zero.
Yeah.
Okay, Australia is scary, right? Because we've got snakes.
We're actually typing quadruple zero for real things. Like I'm going to die in the next 45 minutes because I just got bit by a brown snake.
Yeah, you guys also have massive spiders.
The whole thing's crazy.
See, we had this size of your hand.
The funnel web spider.
We have that can go in the water and hold its breath for 24 hours.
And, and doesn't build webs in trees, guys. Builds webs on the ground.
We also have
where
something called
you
the blue ring octopus. And it's up north, it's on the coast. If you get stung by it or sucked by it, I don't even know what it does, but you're dead in 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
It's over. The ring octopus.
Isn't it pretty? It's pretty.
I thought we were just blowing. It's like, you know that the moon is made?
And there are still dinosaurs in Australia.
they probably kind of are. They're cassowaries.
Bobby, get us back, get us back on the podcast.
There are cassowaries, which if you don't know what that is, it's literally, it looks like a raptor and an emu had a baby.
It's the weirdest looking
thing. You know the other crazy thing about Australia? So in the middle, 80% of the population's on the coast, which kind of makes sense.
On the south coast. Coast, right?
Well, like, just on the coast.
Yeah,
just
a lot on the south
but
coast.
In
it's
the
super
middle,
hot in the north. Yeah.
In the middle, they brought camels over however many, like,
we've had tragic stories with importation in Australia.
There's more wild camels in Australia than anywhere else in the world. Wild camels.
Because they're taking over.
Because no one lives in the middle.
The camels are your boars and your hogs.
Yeah.
Well, we have boars and hogs.
And we have problems with those.
Yeah, just like we do.
All sorts of things.
Yeah.
And sadly, we'll finish up our Australian trivia on the podcast with this. We are one of the only countries in the world that our national mascot, which is a kangaroo, one of our national mascots, is actually a pest.
And we shoot them.
Is that
the kangaroo's a pest?
Yeah, it's not protected?
Pest in Australia. Isn't that sad? They're not protected
at
all.
No.
Because they're like your white-tailed deer. They're just everywhere.
And they're mean. They'll box you.
Yes. Well, red kangaroos. Those are the really tall, prehistoric
ones. Okay, those are just the videos that I see of people getting beat up by kangaroos.
I didn't realize kangaroos weren't cool. Like, I thought you guys would be like, hey, there's a kangaroo.
Oh, no, we love them. Like, Mom had a pet kangaroo when she was growing up. Yeah. A little wallaby,
Is a wallaby a baby kangaroo?
They're just like a smaller breed.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. Kind of like a teacup.
How deep do we want to go down the kangaroo?
I think we're good. No, this is fascinating because look, we have never had Australia talk on the podcast before. Yeah, yeah,
so a wallaby is sort of the smallest version of the kangaroo. They only get sort of to 3-4 feet. Then there's a regular kangaroo, which is just your Joe Blow.
And they're big.
Kangaroo, and they get to, 5 feet or four. And then there's the red kangaroo that can get up to like 7 foot.
What?
All right, so just because this is kind of human, we have a cousin. We have a cousin who's kind of like a Steve Irwin type. Like he's a little crazy, and he will get paid.
We love you.
$10 a kangaroo to like go hunt them.
Oh yeah.
Do people eat them?
So
yeah, we
in China.
So we had the same thing in Louisiana with nutria. The little, they're like swamp rats is what everybody calls them,
right.
And it's the same thing. It's a nuisance animal. It's eating up the marsh and it's causing a lot of erosion and.
Yep.
And making things way worse. And so they do that. They were, every couple of years they come out with it's $10 per, pelt or whatever that you can pull out.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about 911 Nashville for a second? Awesome. Yeah, it was
You just
really,
watched it, didn't you?
Could you give us a play-by-play?
It was, it was the first 911 show I'd ever seen. Do they have 911 LA and I think or
Chicago?
I have not followed it.
I've never seen it, and I thought it was like kind of like the other we're firefighters,
like a drama.
Yeah,
it was
downright dumb. It was just like
I feel like you're holding back.
Like how so? Like I didn't.
Okay, but
I'll
tell you what. I told the boys. I told this one earlier to them, off air. There's a scene. It's at the Parthenon.
Is it based on a true story?
And there's a storm coming. The twisters are coming. Danielle Breezy, if you don't know, she's a local meteorologist on TV.
Yeah. I saw her the other night. In fact, and I just walked past and said, thank you for saving us during the tornadoes. Literally. True story.
And she goes on there on TV, and they're like, she's like, hey, get in your safe places. And then there's a woman calls 911 from Centennial Park at the Parthenon in Nashville. And the 911 operator is Brad Paisley's wife.
Father of Kimberly, the bride, you remember her? Yeah.
And she goes, 911, what's your emergency? And she goes, my daughter is in the air. There's a kite. She's like, Send me a video. Hang on. Send me a video of what's happening. The woman then just puts her phone in the air, points the phone, and there is a child.
Is this during the tornado?
It's not even there yet.
Okay. She FaceTimes
with 911 somehow.
All right.
And there is looks to be a 6-year-old girl hanging on as a kite is flying around, and she's like,
like
balloon
a cartoon. Boy.
Like a balloon boy.
Remember Balloon Boy?
And she looked at her and she goes, oh, okay, everyone, I can see what's going on. Everyone form a human net underneath her. And so everyone gets together and she's holding on to a kite at Centennial Park.
Good job, chica.
Based on
as
true
they,
story.
As they get underneath this little girl, a human net, then she just falls out of the sky and
drops.
They catch her and then everyone
is that the end of the episode
and then they went to a
key change.
No, that's not the end. Then they go to a commercial.
Okay, so what is the
and
likelihood?
That's the first like 10 minutes.
Somebody on Reddit said kid got yeeted by a kite. I'm in. I was like, that's it, you sold me.
What's the likelihood that you'll watch next week?
100%.
So it's, yeah, but we were talking about this off air too, because there's different types of shows and there's the accidental awesome show that is not quite awesome.
Like the very first Sharknado that they tried to take it kind of serious, but it was so low budget that it became funny.
Hey, but both have tornadoes in common.
There's a thing.
So there's a thing
tornadoes,
here.
Tornadoes. Yeah.
And then you have shows that are like, you know what, we're leaning into the extreme. Here.
This definitely
and you're
is
convinced
leaning into that.
That they're just going, we're just gonna do this.
I think the act, like the, I think the actors were like, okay, hey, we're just gonna check, man, you know.
But so what's your like? How long do you think the show's gonna be around for?
Oh, it's gonna go whole. Well, people are gonna love it. Oh, and here's the other thing, people. It's going. You know how the other show? It was called Nashville. It had a huge effect on tourism for the city.
Yeah.
This I think is gonna have the same, but I think it's all gonna be for people who have mental illness, because they're going to think that what they see on this show is what it is, and they're going to be like, I'm all for that.
And by the way, circling back to Australia, that's exactly what people say about Australia. It's like, we can't go. My mother-in-law, I can't.
Bless her heart.
She's like, I cannot go to Australia because I'm gonna die.
Oh, she believes all this stuff.
And I'm like, no, that's okay. And she does not like tornadoes either. Fun fact.
Well, you were talking about the spider that if it bites you, you're dead in 10 seconds.
Yeah, that was the blue ring octopus, but that's fine.
But where are those found? I mean, are they only like in a specific area?
No, to your point.
And we're back.
The reason why the brown snake, right? The brown snake is so deadly. It's got the second, I think, most deadly venom in the world. The reason why it's so scary is because that's a fairly common snake in Australia. Now, a lot of these other spiders, the blue ring octopus, a lot of these other things.
They're pretty rare.
Yeah. Well, blue ring octopus, despite its small size, carries enough venom to kill 26 adult humans within minutes. Their bites are tiny, often painless.
You said seconds.
Many victims.
No. He was saying
26 human adults in minutes. Listen, you brothers can fight all you want over seconds and minutes, but I will say this thing is legit.
Yeah, it's legit. Mm-hmm. It's legit. I actually, fun fact, I saw one once when I was a boy as well.
Did you really? And there's no anti-venom.
Yeah. No.
No, you're gone. You're gone.
If you're gone, you're gone.
Yeah, they don't have time.
I mean, by the way, it's 2 minutes. So like it's like an EpiPen or something. Just carry it around just in case. But
you go up there,
octopus.
You go up there and you're like, hey, man, I was going to like, and the guy's holding. He's like, I wanted to help you. I need your help. Yeah, what's going on? I just had a
blue. Well, what if you got bit by one, like on the hand? Could you tourniquet yourself so it stops the venom from flooding across your body?
And then what if it like affects like your mouth and you can't talk, but you're alive? And you're like, hey, man, I just got that bit by. I mean,
I'm crying.
And they're like, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with you, man.
You got to talk about something of substance here.
Good Lord.
This is substance.
Jeez, use your words.
I'm done.
Pie dog.
Oh, man.
It becomes like a first word, two sentences, two syllables.
You know what we should
drawn
do?
It on the board.
We need to go do a trip to Australia altogether just because of this segment.
Just start drawing an octopus on the board. Can you imagine? Fingers. No, hand.
Let's absolutely send this podcast to the Australian visitors. Tourism is going to spike.
They're not going to renew my passport after this one, guys.
Oh my god,
that was potent. Going back to 911 for a moment. Again, it's quadruple zero in Australia. If you ever travel there and you need an emergency, it's quadruple zero.
Do you know why we don't do triple zero? Because kids pick up a phone and press buttons.
So you're saying Australia's dumb?
Yes.
Well, it's not triple zero. It's quadruple zero.
Oh, sorry.
So there's four zeros. Secondly, I am thankful for 911 because a lot of we did a film Unsung Hero last year that released. Thank you. And a lot of our crew that were local crew to Nashville, they're all like, they're so thrilled because they get to stay home with their families.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
film in Nashville for like 9 months.
Because they're filming it here, which is rare. Yeah. They're actually doing it in
Nashville.
And it is good for tourism because they open up some sets when they need extras. And so tourists can say, hey, I'm going to be in town that weekend.
We do need more tourists in Nashville. Yeah.
if we could figure out.
It's something for them to do.
It's also cool, too, because then you're going to open up all these things. Like the Parthenon used to be, it was just a park and it's this thing. It looks like Greece. Oh, cool. Now it is the famous filming location
of the kite scene.
There's going to be a sign there, right? Like, this is the area where the kite girl, we nearly lost her.
On this spot. There'll be
a statue. Somebody's going to make kite girl statue.
Johnny, I was like, is that a kite? How is she in the air? Oh, she's holding on to a kite and there's a storm coming.
Hey, I'm interested to ask you guys this. Speaking of Nashville, Tennessee, how do you feel about the state of affairs in Nashville, Tennessee with all the things?
Like what?
All of it. Broadway,
okay, I'll tell you.
I think we've
grown too fast, but you can't stop it. But I will say this, and I hope somebody at the mayor's office is listening. So there's this new big thing where they're making a push to have more bicycle lanes and all that. And so are you ready for this? By my house, they had a 4-lane road, and they decided to take the 2 outer lanes and turn those into bike lanes. So they can go, we created 3.5 new miles of bicycle lanes. But they took away two road.
So you just got like bumper to bumper traffic, but the bikes are just.
The traffic is horrendous now. What used to take 15 minutes now takes 25. And on top of that, I've not seen one bike, not even somebody who's got a DUI.
What about a bird?
Nothing. Nothing is ever on those lanes except for an Amazon truck pulled over on the side making a delivery.
Joel, yeah. It looks like you asked the right question.
I am angry. Boy. Give me my lanes back.
That's going to be on next episode of 9199.
We created this bicycle.
Isn't it terrible? I was in line for a show waiting the doors to open at Bridgestone, and all of a sudden we heard a yelp, and all our heads turned, and it was some woman who had just totally wiped out on her bird scooter. And we all went, we're not getting out of line. Because we were waited too long, and like, we're fine. Sorry, someone else will help her. Like, that's
pull
the thing.
Your phone
we've got
and film it. That's
yeah,
what you're
we've
supposed
all gotten so like,
big
eh,
deal,
tourists
big
falling.
Deal. No,
eh,
who cares? It wasn't a blue was ring like, octopus.
Oh, right. I was like, we are such awful people, but like, I'm not giving up my place in line.
I will say, though, on the positive side, I did wait in line last night. My wife was singing at the, she sang the national anthem at the opening Predators game.
Oh, Bubba I saw, there. And she was yeah. amazing. She was fantastic. The rendition was awesome with the guitar, everything. Uh-huh. I was like, that's amazing.
Guitarist was Australian, by the way. Fun
oh, was
fact.
He?
That
was a yeah. fun fact. That was
Australian
fun.
Guitarist doing the national anthem of America of
Latin,
in a flamenco style.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great.
And it was those moments. So it was a really funny snapshot. I've not even debriefed with Luke about it. So we did the GMA Dove Awards two nights prior, where we played World on Fire. We had the real fire, the pyrotechnics, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, you're
and
real
then it's
rock
just
star.
Magnificent that they flipped the room in 2 days, and then all of a sudden you have all these Predators jerseys for the inaugural night. And there was something about the spirit of the night that I was like, man, this is really cool. On both, weirdly enough, on both the Dove Awards, which is people coming together, and then this sports match, I was like, man. We're in such an interesting spot where we're so isolated so often, you know, and so pushed into our own social corners or religious corners or political corners. And then all of a sudden you have these moments where, like, people are coming together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sports will do that a lot, for sure.
Sports does it. Music does it. Comedy does it. I mean, there's a lot of things that do it. But the problem is around here lately, the roads. I was going to say, I don't want to get out of the house now.
Bicyclist. Like, yo, you want a bike? You want to do that on your own time?
Man.
So what y'all think? Y'all going to Cracker Barrel anymore? Or y'all doing that to give up?
You know what? Go. So Cracker Barrel, you know, all of the hullabaloo aside, is a special place for me and my kids, because my parents, our parents, that's where they go for like grandparents' hangs.
Yeah.
And so when this was all going on, obviously I was reading all the comments and I was like, well, man, this to defend the memories was what actually happened to me.
Uh-huh.
Was like, man, when Nana and Papa come around, the number one place they're going to be taking my kids is to Cracker Barrel. And so, when all of the controversies were happening, I was like, well, but keep it. Like, I want the fire.
Yeah.
You know, I want the antiques on there. They may be dusty. I get it.
It's fine.
But was the memory. These were like, because it kind of became personal. Because there's so many things that we read in the news, right?
Yeah.
That you're like, I just don't really, it's not relatable to me at any point. But the memories that we've made as a family over at Cracker Barrel, yeah, it felt personal.
I think, in many ways, what you just said is the reason they were looking to make the change, because it's where the old people go. It's like, you know.
What was the, forgive me.
You're forgiven. Go about your way.
I'm much more of a Japanese sort of Asian cuisine guy than a Cracker Barrel guy. But what was the controversy?
Well, they changed the logo. They took away the Herschel or whatever his name. The old guy was in the rocking chair. They took that away.
Okay.
And then they redid the stores to where they didn't. They took all
so
that
they
stuff off.
They started to redo.
They had some that they were doing. They're in the process
plans
of.
Plans to do it, yeah.
Yeah, right. They had a few of that were already done.
Yeah.
And it kind of was. You're like seeing like the you ever go you see the old McDonald's and it's like the Playland and it's cartoonish and it's over the top then now they kind of look like an orthodontics office. It doesn't it just kind of looks modern
they turned it
but
very
it doesn't look
vanilla.
Fun it is very
so they
vanilla.
Were just worried about change.
Yeah, their sales were going down, and so they hired a firm out of San Francisco.
Right,
brilliant. stupidest idea I've ever heard. Why would you, anyway?
You're trying to get the hometown restaurant to give them a right. rebrand, and yeah, you
and
need
so
to,
they forgot their audience, and yeah. it'd be like us doing playing you know music that people don't want or talking about things that people don't care about.
Yeah, they forgot the audience. Isn't that such a fascinating thing in today's environment? Which again, testament to the Hall of Famers in front of us.
Thank you.
In that, you must, and I slammed the table when
yeah,
I said
you
this.
Did. That was powerful.
Remember the people, and this we Luke and I talk about this all the time in music, and I'm sure you do in radio too. Like, we are public servants. Like.
Yeah.
A restaurant is a service industry. We are public servants. What we do is serve the people. Yes. Are we trying to put our heart into the music, into the show? Absolutely.
You can do both.
Are we trying to put our, you know, our experiences into the restaurant or the show or the song? Absolutely. You can do both. But in the end, it's a public service job, and you are lifting up the people, your listeners, and you're honoring them.
Yes.
And it is a sad thing because I think we see it in the arts sometimes too. You know, even I feel like I've seen it in recent, you know, releases this year with different artists where I go, I don't know if you, that was, and I have all due respect for making something for yourself. But the principle of putting something out in the public is you're putting it out there for the
for them, not just for you. You're putting it out for
like
them.
Like, write your song or do your thing, and just keep it in your corner. And like, this was something for me. But if you're putting it in front of the people, you are making a proclamation that I'm doing this for you at some level, or you're making a proclamation, I don't care about you. Yeah. I'm doing it for me, which never reads right. Sadly,
that's what Kanye does.
Sadly,
yeah. You know who followed us? Michael Sweet.
He started following you?
Yeah.
Wow.
On Instagram.
Hey, Garrett, does that mean just on Instagram?
Just on Instagram, yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Does that mean more to you than the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Have you ever had Michael on the show?
Yeah. Yes. We've had the whole crew in.
Whole band.
The whole band.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah, man. That's sure cool. did.
Holy Crown. Hall of Fame. Hey, had the whole band
so
in here.
We worked on this movie, Unsung Hero. It came out last year. And yours truly played Michael Sweet. What? I put on the hair.
No one knows. Hey, guys, like, you don't even have to watch the whole movie. You can just watch the first 5 minutes and you'll see
Luke
in there.
Like, I'm such a good actor that I'm forgettable.
Yeah.
Like, no one remembers me.
That's
what I'm saying?
It should be.
You know, so I get up there and I do the whole, like, I do the thing.
So for everyone scratching their head, who is Michael Sweet? Michael Sweet is like an icon to us. We talked about it on the radio show. He is the lead singer of the band Striper, who was a very controversial, speaking of controversy, very controversial band because they were sort of mainstream, but they were Christians and they would throw Bibles out into the audience.
Oh, my mom would get so mad. They're throwing the Bibles because they hit the floor. I'm sorry, Mom, but
I couldn't. Yes, my mom's the same way. She can't put anything on top of
them. And they were like, they, I mean, still are icons, but they were like, growing up, they were just.
And they still rock.
They still rock.
Michael Sweet,
he's a fantastic singer.
He
is unbelievable. You know, there's a documentary coming out next year.
I did an interview for it.
We did
which
too.
Is like one of my prides.
Yeah, us too. We did
I'm
it in here.
I'm get cut.
Oh, I love that.
We keep checking back because Larry the Cable Guy is also a huge Striper fan.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
So we talk about it with him all the time. We're like, hey, any word? did we all make it? Yeah. Obviously, he's going
to
make it.
They went to Nebraska and did his interview. They did the whole thing.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
You guys will make it. Larry the Cable Guy didn't make it.
I didn't do the interview. Joel did. So I'm already cut.
It's so good. You know, there's a lot of, like, we were all in high school, we were really into like a Striper. And then me and my buds, would get into like the harder stuff like Tourniquet and what was the other ones? White Heart. Was it White Heart?
Yep. White Heart. But they may have been, they may have not been necessarily as hard, but they were
Tourniquet
popular.
Was definitely. Baron Cross. Anything?
Okay. Do you think it just comes back? Do you think is that genre gone? Speaking of genres,
you asked Carson. Carson is the 80s rock.
Does 80s rock ever come back? You had like the Darkness for a minute.
Yep.
It was like, oh, that was cool.
Yep. Who is it? Well, you've got Ghost, who plays around in that arena, that they do very 80s synthy style stuff.
And it's new.
Yes. Ghost is new-ish, like last 10 years. But there's a new band I was just checking out the other day. We are getting back into the the call and response, people really want that. Mm-hmm, the big guitars. Mm-hmm, forget mm-hmm. who the band was that I was just reading about.
The call and response. What do you mean, like the
like when they tell you like say yeah yeah and they like go back and forth and where we give you places to like to participate in these songs. That's okay. A big thing in arena rock. Is
put your hands arena in the air.
Rock. That's the
yeah,
thing
arena
I'm looking
rock.
For.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you do have those kind of yeah. Forget.
I just looked it up, by the way. Michael Sweet also follows for King and Country. So
guys,
look at you guys.
Do you have his number?
Two peas in a pod.
Do you have his number? God, can we call Michael Sweet?
I mean, I don't know. My dad might.
Dad definitely does.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. My Striper friend was like, ask them about their dad. He was instrumental in bringing Striper to Australia in the 1980s. I'm like, all right, Caton, calm down.
We were so excited. We got to bring them on stage at the old Wild Horse Saloon. And Bubba and I were so geeked out over it. My buds came in town. We had a table. We're backstage hanging out.
Backstage.
Watching Odds. Back, walking back. Like, yeah. Oh,
we got
gosh.
A picture backstage.
So we get around. We're like, man, we're huge fans, guys. And you know, they're in their whole like get up.
Get up. Yeah, the get up hasn't changed.
Oh, yeah. The whole. Yeah.
And it should never.
No, hope ever. And so we go in. We stand there. We take a picture. And all the whole, we're all kind of in a row. And we get the picture later on. And I look. I go, where's Michael? Sweet. I don't see him. As a joke, because I'm so enormous, he stood behind me and got completely hidden. He's not in the picture.
The only thing you see is the neck of the
guitar.
All
you see is it's me, and I'm so I have this crazy excited look on my face, and just he's not even there.
Do you even see his hair behind
you?
No,
all you saw was a guitar, and I was like, dude.
So did you get him out of the picture?
We made him come here.
Okay,
that's good. That's cool.
Yeah, we did get a retake on the pic, so that was nice.
Anyway, I think we've covered.
Did I ever tell you guys I was at that show?
You were?
I was just in the audience.
Before
but
we even knew you?
Yeah, before I knew you.
Whoa.
I saw you guys come out on stage.
What?
I was waiting to catch a Bible. I didn't.
You're like, what are these?
Are they still doing the Bible thing?
They actually did at that show. Yeah. I know they threw them out.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
My bud had his license plate said Rock for God. And he had Striper's tickets, a sticker. He had all the other bands and stuff. So
Petra.
Great. Oh God!
I do love that we're in this era of honor, and I don't feel like the religious arts. We could have done a better job of honoring those that have gone before us, you know. But I do love that we're. I feel like we're coming into this era of like that whole time in music in general, but even in Christian music and whatnot, and gospel music, we're honoring those who have sort of. Gone before us. And I feel like this sort of new generation of people coming up and going, this is so nostalgic.
I mean, you made a good point. The people, like, speaking of White Hot, do you realize the people that were, like, the guys that were in that band? Tommy Sims was in that.
Okay.
Gordon Kennedy, they wrote, change the world. I can be a sunlight in the universe,
Eric Clapton.
Baby.
Oh, yeah.
If I could change the world. Wow. Dan Huff.
Who,
like, geez, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
the most successful.
Is responsible for the country genre.
He was
as
in
a
there.
Producer.
He was in there?
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I didn't
That's
know
what
that.
I'm saying. So, like, when you start to think something to your point, like, some of these bands that went before, you know, a long while, the impact that they've had, not only just in, you know, Christian arts, but in arts in general is enormous. Which, I mean, Dan Huff might be the most successful country producer ever.
Which, guys, and we're cracking a whole other lid on, like, we talked about the religious arts earlier and, like, the impact on culture. And it's like, man, when you get into, like, you know, when the Coldplay was here a couple months ago, there was a panel that Chris was on. And I was fortunate enough to go, and he shared about how his mum, you know, was evangelical, and it was like a lot of what they do now and what he feels is what he experienced in those younger years with his mum going to church, you know, or Beyonce growing up in church. You look at so many, Katy Perry, all these,
well, the training,
the breadcrumbs, the training ground.
The training ground of, like, you know singing in church, being in a choir or whatever. I mean, the younger anyone starts in any type of occupation, the better you're going to be later on. And so the church was actually the training ground for so many young, particularly musicians. Mm-hmm. To be able, you know, we got some guys that play in our band, and one of the guys is one of the best musicians I've almost ever heard. And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, how did you get into just – who trained you? And he says, man, I just started playing in church at 10. And I had some, Danny Lopez.
Okay, I don't know.
And he just
he's
said,
a virtuoso.
Just
man.
A virtuoso. And he said, I had some guys that saw some talent in me, and they just like poured into me.
Yeah, where else? Like, every single week, do you have this thing?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I got, I'm showing, whether it's community,
it's a show.
Whether it's a show,
yeah.
I've got to show up every single week to this thing and
I go
present.
To the meetings.
You go to the meetings.
By the way,
I look forward to seeing you upstairs.
The meetings is great.
The meetings, we went Sunday morning, we went Sunday night, we went Wednesday night.
Yeah. For the potluck.
And then sometimes
we
would do a youth thing on Saturday or Friday
night. Well, because we were homeschooled, and so like we didn't have a lot of social outlet growing up. So
I know
Wednesday
that, I know
night
that explains
like,
a lot about
was
Joel,
like everything for us. And again, speaking of AI... I think this is on the show. We're bringing it back on the podcast.
Here
now.
We're back.
So,
Joel only
I'll
has
just touch on this.
Joel only has a few talking points
the
right now.
Specialty. This is all we've got. We do have new music and all the other things and a new movie.
I don't even know what you guys do anymore.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're a co-host, man. It's
I
Rick
love
and Bubba
it.
For King Country.
That's the best.
The whole curating. Talent and the 10,000 hours thing. I think what will come to the surface is like Luke said before, like the incredible painters or the incredible player or the radio show host. It's like that's the thing that I think will be heightened, and that's what gives me a lot of solace. Is like, man, if you dedicate your this whole thing is like if you dedicate your life to something, like if you are called to something, and you go, that's the thing I was charged to put on. I was put on this planet to do this thing for this time as a public servant for the people pouring out, and I'm going to be the best in the world at that thing. I think, for everyone that's worried about do we have a job, and frankly, musicians are the ones that are like just what you've played, Bubba, earlier. Like, it's terrifying. But that will never be replaced because there's something about the human experience, the spirit inside us, that we cannot relate to perfection. It's the principle of humanity. We are imperfect beings.
That's right.
And so something that does something perfectly will always feel unrelatable by definition.
To me, it is like when you hear, I don't know how deep your country music knowledge goes, but it's like hearing Old Violin. When you listen to that song from Johnny Paycheck, when you listen to it, it's not... There are parts of it. When the first time I heard it, I was like, "This isn't great." Like, he kind of messed up there. And on the second listen, I heard it again. Third listen, I wanted to hear it.
Yeah,
and it's a song that I can keep going back to. I listened to it yesterday. I can go back to it and back to it and back to it. But the ones that are so mathematically correct, it's like bubble gum.
It's consumer. You just consume
pop it out.
For me. Yeah. Johnny Cash hurt. If you listen to that song,
I hated it at first.
But if you listen to the musicality of it, you're like, it's a little sloppy. You know, it's a little this, that, and the other. But then if the more you listen to it, you listen to the whole thing, and it's like, this is a masterpiece.
40 by U2 is the last track on their War record. And it's like, it's a bit garage bandy, but man, I've wept over that song.
Yeah.
Because it's. And part of it is capturing a moment in time in the human experience about things that were going on that I think changes the way you look at yourself and the world. And so, man, I feel like it's always going to be there, but we are going to have to get better.
So we were talking about like Walk the Line. In Walk the Line, you were talking about Johnny Cash. You hear him do this little, it was him trying to find the pitch for the next...
Yes.
The next line.
That's right.
So whenever you're listening to it, you hear that in the background. You hear him just kind of hum low as he's trying.
That's
music.
Him.
It's iconic.
Isn't that crazy?
Robo music does not do that.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
But it will. Like, it will, but it won't be the same.
It freaks me out when I hear robots breathe.
I heard one cough the other day.
What?
Yeah, the guy, it was some TikTok thing, and this guy goes, the AI's talking, doing some kind of whatever. And so he was talking, I think he was talking about the blue ring octopus, and he's talking about it, and he says, it's enough venom to kill 26 adults, and the guy goes, stop. And he goes, we have a question. He goes, why did you cough? Oh, I'm sorry, did that bother you? Should I not do that? He goes, but you're AI. Well, it's true. I don't have the ability to physically cough, but it is. I know.
They did it to be relatable.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Studying human behavior.
Yeah. So that means it's probably AI saying
Bjork. By the way, human behavior. No, no one. Okay.
No way.
You know that? You know what I'm talking about?
No. Is that a Bjork song?
Yes.
Human
behavior. No. Huh. You know what I'm talking about, Bjork?
The one thing we do have to be watchful for about AI is that, you know, whenever there was developments in the past, like let's take the horse to the buggy the horse to the car. Mm-hmm. It was such a slow transition point because it was like, okay, one guy had a car, the richest guy had a car, and it took 40 years for this thing to really take off. What's strange about these downloads now is like, you know, millions and billions of us have these phones, and all of a sudden the next development just goes, whap.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the blink, and you don't have any time to catch up with the development.
Well, you weren't making these songs a year ago.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what's crazy. And it doesn't sound bad.
It gets better.
You know, the key point, and hear me out, I know you're going to laugh at this, but it's a key point in Jurassic Park that Jeff Goldblum makes.
Oh, don't say it. This is my favorite movie quote of all time.
Okay, I don't have it quote for quote, but when he says, you know, you just got onto the backs of the other people. Like, you didn't look back and think whether you should.
The quote is,
ladies and gentlemen, Smallbone about to do Jurassic Park reading.
Mm-hmm. When did he take over the podcast?
I don't know.
I'm here, guys. I'm just getting excited.
Wait a second. I'll do that. I'll get a little.
Am I going Australian or am I going American?
Well,
with this?
You can't not go Australian.
Please. Okay. Right. What you do? What you want to do?
This is for you. You're so. You were so obsessed with the question of whether you could, you never stopped to ask whether you should.
And he's talking about knowledge you didn't earn. And that's the thing with AI. It's not earned knowledge.
Oh, that's good.
You're welcome, earned, TED Talk.
No worries.
Earned knowledge.
No big deal.
Yep. Earned experience, earned knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, earned, the difference between somebody who expertise. Built a car that you had to learn combustion and how these pieces go together. And that is that
and was refined over time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
ooh, that's, exactly good. Right. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I don't know.
Keep her around.
Would you guys get in one of those self-driving cabs?
Joel's done one.
I've done one.
What? Really?
And it was weird how not weird it was. It was in LA. It was one of the Waymo ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, guys, we can do a whole other podcast about, like, I don't Google many things every day, but I Google robo-taxi almost every day.
Really?
Yeah, because I saw
they have a lot. Did you guys see the lot? It's like over off Charlotte or whatever. It's like they've got 100 cars ready to go.
If they green light it here or whatever?
Well, not if.
It's already
in test now. So they're driving around with a...
In Nashville?
Yeah, they're driving around with a human person right now. I talked to a guy the other day.
In the driver's seat.
Yeah, in the driver's seat. And it's like, well, why are you even... He's like, well, we're training it on the roads and the traffic patterns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was weird how not weird it was.
Really?
Yeah. About 10 minutes. You go to about 10 minutes, you go, this is
terrifying. And you've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And then the last 20 minutes, you're like, this is really nice.
Can you see it? Can you see us doing this in the future? Like all
100%.
The time?
Here's the thing that no one... Thanks for being on my podcast today, guys. Here's the thing that no one estimates is the I'm not talking about emissions pollutions, but the amount of car pollution, just cars everywhere in downtown areas, the amount of parking lots, the amount of cars parked on the side of the road.
Just if the you congestion.
Just had a, yeah. Congestion. Yeah. If you just had a grid of autonomous cars that was just on it and you could just summon one and it could be there in 30 seconds. You don't have to walk to your car. You're not going to get mugged by your car. It's just right there. You can hop in and off you go. And by the way, it opens up millions of square feet in every town. Like, think of New York without parking spaces. Yeah. You could put more buildings there. Like, your infrastructure completely. Or anything else. Yeah.
It also helps with listen, I saw a thing is on red lights. So if you have a string of cars at a red light and it turns green, the first car moves, and that car, he sees they're moving, so then they move, and that car, so it's a thing. If they're all robotic, as soon as it turns green, they all move.
Oh, I'll one-up you.
At the same time.
I'll one-up you, D.
You're going to one-up you.
No lights. No lights. There's no need for traffic lights. Well, because they just go in and out of each other.
Right. Yeah, that would be a really creepy.
It will
thought.
Be autonomous yeah. only zone. So it's a networked. City yeah. will be networked. You it's, cannot drive.
It's almost like how Air Bubba and our pilots. So airplanes have what's called ADS-B, and so mm-hmm. they basically are able to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So if you are taxiing out to the runway in your plane, you can see all the other planes on the taxiway. It's on a map on the up on the screen. You can see where they are all moving in yeah. real time. And yeah. when you're flying, you can see yeah. them before you see them.
Exactly.
With your eyes. I still think we're at least 20 years away from starting down the autonomous road, and I think it's going to start with the interstates, the freeway system,
yeah.
because you make it a standard thing. Okay, if you want to travel on the interstates, you have to be in automated mode, so your car has to be able to go on to it.
High speeds.
Yeah, and then we get rid of all the congestion on the interstates that way.
I think is going to be very interesting for America. Is you're going to have to give up some level of rights to do some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where it's getting, like, Joel and I talk about this quite a bit, autonomous driving, and you get into actually, like, you get into politics. You get into laws, like, okay, so if something does go wrong, who actually is responsible? Mm-hmm. And are you going to get into a car? And they are going to allow you the ability, like on your phones, to say, I'm kind of giving up all of my information so that I can have the pilot, you know, look at my other car and this, that, and the other. And you stand back and you go, is America ready to kind of just give all that information up to servers?
Don't you think we already have?
We may have. But my point is I think that there's certain levels that it's much more tangibly obvious. And that would be one where you're very like, oh, obvious. Wow, yeah. that's very, you know, very real. What all
well,
of the cars are talking.
And we're also going to have to figure out what are we going to do with that time as well. Because humans,
Netflix
this
and
is,
chill.
Well, and that's the trouble is where I think just our spirits, this is where there was this great story that actually our sister told us about this American that went over and went on a hike with these tribesmen. And he wanted to do about 7 to 10 miles a day, and they got about 2 miles in, and they stopped. And he was like, "Guys, we've got to keep going." And they said, "No, we're stopped." And it was a big argument. And then by the end, they said, "Why will you not keep going?" And they said, "We have to leave enough time for our souls to catch up with our bodies."
Oof.
And I don't think we don't do that. So it's as primitive as it sounds, like going to the toilet and not doing anything. Yep. Is a time for yourself. Sitting at a dinner table with those you love and just looking at each other and talking about your day.
It's the most important thing that
catching up
with
to
no
your body.
Phone on no. the table.
Sitting in the car yep. in traffic when you're just thinking through your day as you drive home and you've got to switch the gears from being switched on to being with your family. Those moments are so important. And if we fill them all up with things, and this is where the autonomous thing's scary. If you fill all that time up with, and we're already doing it with
we're
phones
already doing
stuff,
that.
But
yeah, we're yeah. doing.
Because here's the thing: that's if true. You go back 200 years ago and you start going through, hey, I don't have to have, you know, the idea of I may not have to have a farm anymore. I may not have to spend all of my waking days just actually creating food or, you know, clothes or whatever it might be. Like the gift of leisure, the privilege of leisure. Has actually been with us for probably 70, yeah, 80
true.
Years.
That's true.
And so, you know, you got to think many, many moons ago.
Yeah, we take it for granted.
They didn't have the gift of leisure. It was survival. Yeah. But we've been living in it. So this type of thing on autonomous driving is just going to accentuate what we've already been given, which is a little creepy. Yeah.
But if we put the time into creating and community and actually practicing, which I believe are sort of our human, you know, sort of innate image bearers of God ideals of like loving others well and laying down your life and being humble. If you give yourself to those things, then I think actually we become like the whole planet becomes something more like what God intended to be and more like what we're hoping it to be. But if we just go to leisure, which that was the whole big thing, that's like 1984 and the whole thing, like you just create, you know, leisure for everyone.
Yeah, well, we saw it in WALL-E, and we all end up 8,000 pounds, yeah. and we don't yeah. get
Gosh,
we can't walk
film.
Anymore. Yeah.
What a film!
What yeah,
a film.
WALL-E was pretty crazy because you see, I mean, it was they're preaching.
They were preaching.
They were preaching.
Yeah, I mean, big time. Yeah.
It also shows you that we live in a simulation, and aliens are among us in the oceans.
Have you been following the
I took a turn.
Yes, I have. Alice. Yeah.
that's on its way?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, quote unquote, if you Google, and it's not, it's an asteroid, but then
yeah, my AI
six months ago, they were saying that it's moving in a way that is
going around.
It's not an orbit. It was moving in a vehicular type.
Yeah. Right angles, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And listen, I'll say it again. We have a sitting United States representative of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, who 2.5 weeks ago, while walking in Washington, D.C. between sessions, is talking to a reporter, and he says that he had just got out of a briefing, and he says, we have 5 to 6 deep water alien bases under the oceans in our world, on our planet. And we don't know how long they've been here. We don't really know a whole lot about them, but we know that they're here. And no one said it wasn't on the news. It wasn't on social media. I'm telling it to you. You've never heard it.
No, never heard it.
And
I think
what are we doing, man? The problem no one cares?
Well, the problem with disclosure is it breaks down everything. It breaks down, it makes people question religion.
Yep.
It makes people question government. It makes people question relationships. It makes everything now becomes a...
Were we duped?
Yeah.
Yep.
But if God, here's the thing. This is what I love about the mystery of God. If God is the God of it all, and if this whole, this whole idea of like speaking something in, we're just touching the surface of like vibration and the power of, you know, the Bible talks about the power of the tongue, and it can ignite a fire, and the power of hell is actually even in the tongue. Like, and yet we use it to create these heavenly sounds. We use it to express our love for each other. The world was spoken at somehow into being, and it was so powerful. Whatever that vibration was, created this whole universe that is still expanding to this day that we cannot comprehend. And we pretend to think that God, we understand the technology of God, the spirit of God.
It's arrogant for us to think that we understand God.
Yep.
You guys remember that movie, iRobot? Mm-hmm. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
Which looks more accurate.
More and more accurate. Everyone should go rewatch that movie.
Especially whenever you see like with what's going on with the AI, when they want to turn it off and it starts lying and blackmailing and doing crazy stuff.
But here's the thing that I thought was always fascinating about that movie was, remember the guy that invented all of those robots or whatever, Will Smith's character would go and ask him all these questions. And what he would say is, and that is the right question. The thing is these questions that are posed,
and we've got to ask the right questions.
We've got to ask the right questions, and we've got to go find the answers.
Of each other, of God.
Carson, your point, which was, hey, AI, it's come too quick. We haven't had to fight for it. Well, some of these questions, we got to go fight for them. We've got to go fight for the answers. And, hey, it might get a little uncomfortable for a little bit, but I think we're starting and beginning to find out, because of social media, though there's pros and cons to it, that we're going to be starting to ask the right questions.
Not to be sort of pretty in a bow with it, but I think the beauty of what Jesus and the whole idea of God offers humanity is there have been plenty of times throughout human history. I thought back to the Second World War. I'm like, okay, so you've got Hitler, you've got the war with the Japanese, you've got the atomic bomb, you've got Stalin. Did we not look at that point and go, this is it? This was the end. This is what it all led to. This was the end of the planet right in this moment. Millions of people are either in genocide or are being killed in multiple wars around the world, and yet we are still here. And this idea that we are, I've forgotten who said it, but we are stumbling towards grace, that we're stumbling towards, that in the grand scheme of human history, we're still in the infancy of post even Jesus. Like we're 2,000 years in. And that we're still in our adolescence, we're sort of stumbling towards grace. And I have a lot of hope in the fact that even the younger generation are figuring some of this stuff out. We're talking about things. There is therapy. We are talking about how do we understand ourselves? Where is true peace found? Is it in consumerism? Is it in claiming our right? Or is it in giving ourselves away and serving each other and laying down our lives for each other and the least becoming the greatest? And there's something in that they just kind of go, I get heady about all of this stuff. And then you just kind of go, thank God I'm not God.
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm happy stumbling.
Keep stumbling.
Yeah. Keep stumbling.
It's good to see you guys.
I think we've covered a lot. Drummer boy.
There was just
octopuses.
Silence.
Well, I mean, because that's very, very profound. I feel like after the
morning
conversation for 6 hours.
Yeah, I feel like the morning after a lock-in, where you're just kind of
you're opening up the door.
Wow, that was a lot. When you go home, you guys should look up the double slit theory. You really would love that.
Quantum theory?
Interesting.
Hey, you have to send
You went to quantum physics.
Yeah.
I think that helps explain God. I really do. No. Because, you know, you talk about the Big Bang and all that. For something to exist, it has to be witnessed. It has to be observed.
I don't think they know the double slit theory.
Go ahead.
It's an experiment, and I pulled it up. They take electrons and photons, and basically when unobserved, particles pass through two slits where they just kind of go, however they go. But if you look at it, it changes and it goes into one.
It chooses
only if you look, if a human looks at it, the photon reacts differently.
At a subatomic level.
And this experiment's been done over and over and over. Somehow that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at the Big Bang. For that to have occurred, something had to see it. Something had to witness it.
Isn't that the whole, like, God, he was passing over the waters and there was stillness and there was sort of nothingness but there was this presence. There was always this presence over whatever this was or was not. To your point, yeah.
Everything and nothing all at once, and it's happening all around us every second of the day.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating.
Fascinating. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys.
Do want to say again, for King and Country, just no spaces. Just find them on all the socials. A Drummer Boy Christmas. You guys are doing a bunch of cities throughout the Christmas and holiday season. World on Fire is the new song, and it's great, and it's got a key change that we love. you guys are just
fire.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for coming hang out with us.
Guys, thanks for the time.
No, thank you. You ready for the greatest podcast outro song?
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Oh, I need to bring them into the room here.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
Come on in here.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
That's right.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Come on, Doris Day.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Amazing. Be blessed.